Good morning. Welcome to the call on the earnings of the fourth quarter of 23 and the year 23. I'm Flavio, IR Director. I'm here with Ale, our CEO, and Eder, our CFO. Before turning the floor to Ale to discuss the earnings, we have some disclaimer notices on the end of the presentation. You can read it there. And to ask questions in the Q&A session at the end of the presentation, and at any point of the presentation, you can click on the Q&A icon. Thank you, and I turn the floor to Ale. Good morning, everyone. Let's get the slide projected. Welcome to our call. We'll discuss the earnings of the fourth quarter of last year. We'll have the Q&A at the end, so you can already read the questions, and we'll have a dynamic format. So the first thing, let's talk about the elephant in the room: the revenue that did not meet our expectations in the fourth quarter, and of course, the accounting loss that is very concerning, as everybody saw, and needs to be addressed. But of course, also talking about the good part, that's the unforeseen cash generation of our company. So it's a company that is generating operating cash as never before, but very squeezed and quite disappointing in the top line and, of course, in the results. Net revenue came on the fourth quarter when usually sales warm up. We had a drop of 5%, still a remainder of the ERP migration. The market was struggling to replacement, very retracted. We see the number of retails, how it's struggling. So very little investment or belief in sales in the fourth quarter. So sales in the fourth quarter was a lot lower, closing the net revenue in the year at 3.5 billion. In terms of earnings, we see the gross margin at negative levels. It's very atypical, pulled by some families, and we'll discuss more about this, but it's driven by very specific villains here. Negative gross margin, not to mention net margin. We had 181 million BRLs in inventory adjustments of write-offs of inventory in the fourth quarter, and that also hindered our results, leading to a very disappointing is not the word. In terms of the EBITDA, 284 million negative EBITDA, pulled by those write-offs, especially in mobile devices, the factor that we've been talking about every quarter. We will soon see a longer history breakdown, what the problem is, what are the actions, and why we have believable reasons to be optimistic for the future. And of course, cash generation, it's the main positive point here. We generated more, 67 million BRLs of free cash in the fourth quarter, almost 800 million BRLs of cash generation. We started the year with 600 million net debt and closed the year with 800 million net cash, free cash. So if I had to choose one thing, you want a company with wonderful profits but with terrible cash? Or do you want a company generating cash? And when in doubt, cash is always better. Nobody would prefer accounting rather than cash position. So, but things need to converge. We cannot operate like this forever. But I'm happy that at least the main focus of the year, that was to turn in the year free cash positive with cash generation, this was done. And in the first quarter, we're still generating cash. So this phenomenon is not done. Inventory clearance continues, 508 million BRLs of inventory reduction. That's an unforeseen level of decrease, 1.4 billion in the year. So we started the year with the inventory marked at market prices, very low, at the historical lowest level. So there's no reduction to do further. A brief slide showing a little bit of the history. You see the Multi Group in normal conditions over more than 15 years, generating EBITDA at 13 to 15%. That was always our normal level of EBITDA. And I'm convinced, based on the assumptions and facts, that this remains Multi's normal EBITDA level. But each investor needs to do their own analysis. How many quarters do we have to be patient for? We were waiting for this convergence. We wanted to see in the third quarter. It didn't come. Fourth quarter was worse. So if I was on the investor's place, I would sit down and think, well, how long are we going to see these squeezed results? Fourth quarter of 22 was a loss. First quarter, we had the SAP chain, so we understand, catastrophic, whatever. But second quarter was already blue. Third and fourth quarter, very disappointing. And we get to a point when we look at the accounting figures and get disappointed. But the history is of a healthy company. The assumptions are there. We can still launch products with great quality, with great price, buy fast, sell fast, generate gross margin, except for some specific categories that we are removing, discontinuing. So I'll show you the actual gross margin and what the gross margin would be in the same conditions with the same prices if we removed the families that will be discontinued. So we had that healthy phase. The pandemic, of course, sent all the numbers up. As with many other companies, we went to 19%, 17% EBITDA margin. So that was the boom of the pandemic with a lot of expensive inventory purchased, overstocking, with expensive shipping and freight. Dollar went up and so on. In 2021, we choked up. Multilaser was filled to the brim, like we ate too much, had indigestion. In 22, revenue went down a little bit, the margin was squeezed. 23, not only choked up, but also having a heart attack due to the change of ERP. So the athlete that was choking up had a heart attack, and the numbers are horrible. So then you ask, what's ahead? Is it going to continue to drop? Or will it stabilize and recover? I believe that with all the measures that have already been implemented and the evidence, the scenario looking forward is towards normalization. It's not going to be a miracle, but it's not going to be the horror we saw last year. Everybody has to analyze it. We have professional investors on the call. You have experience. You can do your analysis and see what you believe. Within possible, considering the scenario, I'm confident that we are recovering, we're improving numbers, and with cash, always very important to have net cash. Here to talk a little bit about inventory, you see that the blue at the bottom is the in-house inventory that's bad, so to say, because you paid China, you paid customs, you paid the government, and you have it stopped and you're paying for storage. Until mid last year, by October or something of last year, we had three inventory centers outside of Manaus. Manaus is small, 7,000 square meters. We had three distribution centers, the main one in Extrema of 28,000 squared meters and another 20,000 squared meters in São Paulo. That's 90,000 pallets of goods. We're talking about the third quarter of 22, fourth, the first and second quarters of 23. And until it starts to drop, you'll see that from the third quarter, the blue part of the chart starts to drop. At the end of the year, we were able to return the São Paulo DC with its expenses and the freight costs. And I'm very pleased to say that last month, we zeroed and returned the second DC in Minas with 28,000 squared meters and 1 million BRLs of monthly fixed costs, not to mention freight. So all of the inventory, all our logistics centers is in one location only, which significantly reduces our logistics costs. And this will be captured in 2024. Less in-house inventory, less obsolescence. In transit, that's purple, is the shipped inventory. So that timeline of the time bomb that you have to pay China and we have to pay customs very soon. It's good inventory, but not as good as gray. Gray is order placed. the future, the sales expectations. We did not involve capital or ship. So we have a greater share here of recent periods of good inventory, good, beautiful, affordable, and on the way, and the smallest share of in-house inventory. I don't believe it will go below that. This was a very specific pandemic period when we were selling a lot and the inventories were low. This is healthy inventory. If we maintain it at these levels, that's healthy for Multi with a better gross margin. Talking about gross margin, going back in 2022, that was already squeezed. We had a gross margin of 26. Note that 26% is gross margin that leaves us in the blue with a small profit. Not enough, but at least there's no loss. We need to seek more, closer to 30% of gross margin. That would be the healthy historical margin, 30% plus. Sales dropped 20% this year. Gross margin went to 5.5 in the year, completely out of the curve. And here, this was the first quarter of loss when we started to really do the write-offs and clean out the inventory from the pandemic. It was 18 going to 7 on the last quarter. And now, gross margin of minus 9.4, that's a write-off of those families. EBITDA, as you saw, minus 19% and minus 34% in the fourth quarter. Provisions, write-offs, and inventory clearance. It's going to be easier to see when we look at the breakdown by family. But here, G&A, I think, is good news. During the year, we had a reduction of 16%. So, February, March last year, we had one reduction. So, it was entirely captured during that year. And then in November, we had a second reduction that has not been captured at the end of the year. We reduced the company's G&A by 16%. It should be more, yes, but historically, it's always been a streamlined company, a company that spent around 3-4% of revenue with G&A. And we'd see our peers spending 6-7% in G&A. So that's already a streamlined company, but we still made efforts, captured 16% in the year. And of course, all of that will have an effect in 24. Everything that was captured in November, that monthly effort, will be captured in 24. We also hired a specialized consultancy company specialized in efficiency called Gradus. Most of you know, we started the project last week. We are all involved with weekly projects. I'm attending every week. And our goal is to seek another 50 million in savings. That's our goal challenge for the entire operation. So, in addition to the savings of November that will be captured, we have the Gradus savings that will be captured throughout the year. Not everything in 24, but we're going to seek another drop. The idea for 24 is without losing revenue, improving margin, but seeking another drop on G&A at around the same level. So that will be very helpful. If you drop 16% of G&A, improving the other accounts, that goes straight to the bottom line. Income, the difference here is the financial side and FX, with a bigger loss than the loss in EBITDA, because during the year we had net debt and now we're cash, net cash, and that should change. We don't have an interest bill anymore. Cash investment generates positive interest and we are paying off old debt. And here, basically, we see EBITDA with the non-operational issues. Amortization, income tax, that in this case we didn't have because we have accounting loss. But the foreign exchange side is very heavy and financial expenses. Talking a little bit about cash, we turned the year with more than 1 billion cash, net cash 225 million, so about 800 of debt. And in that sense, we're very comfortable in terms of cash position. We believe that will be 100% in 24, 100% of 25. And then we also have sufficient cash to pay everything that will be due after 25. So that makes us comfortable. We don't have any plans unless things change in the scenario of raising funds at all. We're just going to be paying off as the current loans are due. That's the cost for the year of 13%. That has an impact on the bottom line. And we also capture with a little premium of CDI. So if we have 2-3% of spread, as we pay the debts, the spread gets out of our P&L. This is the breakdown for cost, FINEMP. Of course, we're always open to seeking subsidized funding for a specific project. So we are studying the feasibility of that. But the banking debt, CDI plus 2%, 3%, is not the plan for us to raise unless a specific project comes on that's below the CDI levels. Of course, there's a no-brainer. Then there's a lot of projects like that in Brazil. So the breakdown by channel, what we see is that government sales are still weak. You see government at its lowest share. As we know, government's very uncertain. There's waves that come and go. So talking to the government team, we're at a low period. There's not a lot of business happening and build this quarter as well. Government is slow. But people are very excited because there's a lot of business coming up. So the perspectives are good according to the department and the project pipeline. And we are diversifying our government business greatly. We're gaining or winning in healthcare, drones, a little bit of television. So what you tend to see for government, basically, a company that did not have government sales started to make 1 billion from government per year. That really helped our earnings, but focused only on computers and tablets, only those two categories. The boom for government during the pandemic decreased. It became stable at a lower level, 600 million, but we believe it will recover little by little and varying with other product families. Another interesting thing here is that we broke our record in DTC share, 10.6%. The trend is for this to continue to grow. At DTC today, I believe that is unique in the industry with very good KPIs. You buy it today, you get it, receive it at your home the next day in the greater São Paulo area. It's multi-zone operation. We've created a whole exclusive DTC product family, so I believe it will be a driver for growth and gross margin and better control of prices in the market. And the internet providers, ISP, we have a record share. We were a little bit skeptical. There were bearish people around in this case. But there's a lot of technology replacement going on, new business in our partnership with ZTE. So there's a big share here. Now, by segment breakdown, you see the reduction of share in mobile devices. So you see basically tablets, smartphones, PCs going down, driven by a smaller government sales, smartphones being cleared. So all of that we will show here. And the greater share of kids and sports that pretty much doubled compared to 22. This is good news thinking of the medium and long term because the gross margin of the company, they're all imported products, relatively simple to operate in terms of factory. We don't manufacture them, but we have good distribution, good brands, and we're able to turn a good profit on them. And the others remain pretty much stable. So now let's have a look at mobile devices. That's the focal point. A gross margin that came from 32% turns into a gross margin of minus 46.7%. So what's Multi's problem? This is. How are we going to solve it? Removing the lines, clearing inventory and not continuing, discontinuing it. We had a simulation. If we did not have the smartphone line, for example, we would be getting a gross margin of 2%. 2% is still bad, yes, but 2% because when we say smartphone was choked, It was the worst choking, but it's not limited to smartphones. The other families also choked up. Smartphones, tablets, and PCs. Smartphones are the is the product with the highest obsolescence. We got stuck with it from the pandemic, and we had to sell it with lower margins. But tablets, we were also overstocked. The material also got obsolete. And the same thing for PCs. But the difference is that we are not going to replace multi smartphones or Nokia smartphones. But we will replace tablets and PCs. We're bringing cheaper products with better specifications that generate gross margin. If we look back and we only had multi with tablets and PCs only, it would have been a margin of 1.7 here. And these two categories, looking forward, would believe at higher margins, higher than 20%. That's what's already being done with the lines that are coming in. So PCs, we cleared all of the old inventory. We have a completely new line with a gross margin. Tablets as well, we cleared the old line, 2x32, and we launched a new line with 64 gigas and better cost and so on. We believe this will also correct this family. And look at it. It's impressive. A line with minus 118% margin. This is the pain. Why did it drop so much in the fourth quarter? Because we were doing it little by little every quarter, taking the loss, adjusting it. And then we got to a point where we said, let's write it all off. Otherwise, we'll be bleeding all quarters. So let's recognize the reality of this line. It will have to be cleared entirely. And we took this punch. And it seems to have been the right punch to take because at least we see the actual numbers. Whatever we have in smartphone sales from now on will enter with approximately zero of gross margin, okay? That's the balance that we still have to liquidate. So I'm not saying we didn't have cost at zero, it would have been comfortable. But we marked everything at market prices to get a margin of zero from now on. It's not that cost is zero, but that margin expected for these lines is zero. I don't know if it's clear, but if you have any questions, I can go back to this and detail it. Office and IT supplies, basically the margin improved a little bit during the year. In the quarter, there was already a lot of sales as well, clearance. What we simulated here, we had 9%. The year is good, okay, at 19%, but the quarter is at 9%. Why? We also had some clearance in this area. We liquidated two product families. Security, the entire family of access controls, alarms, lines that we were not being able to move in the market. We wrote it all off, liquidated, so that offended the numbers. And the second line is the gamer family. All of the gaming accessories that were purchased in 2020, that was very outdated with very high costs bought during the pandemic. Gamer webcam, gaming mouse, a lot of gaming headphones. They were not really meeting the taste of consumers 4 years later. So we also brought the prices down, but security will be removed from the portfolio. And the gaming side, we are launching. We have launched a new gaming line with a much lower cost and modern design. So it's to resume gross margins of 35%. That's what we've always delivered for gaming items. There's no structural problem in gaming. There's a specific product line from 2020 that was bought at a specific time at a high cost, and now this will be normalized. I do not see Grupo Multi leaving this line of accessories. That's our DNA. And without these two lines, the gross margin would have been 20%. Home electric products, pretty much stable margin with a slight difference compared to the previous year, a little bit below. We had some lines being removed from this part, basically automotive. Screens continue, they're doing well. Speakers are doing well. Home appliances, there's a point of doubt here that I'll mention. Healthcare is fine. So, what's happening is that we are Killing off automotive, clearing everything so that offends the numbers, and home appliances. We had products with plastic parts that were bought in the market, for example, blenders, fans. We used to buy the injected pieces, the injected parts with a higher cost that offended margin. These products have been outsold, and we have products manufactured 100% in-house, so the margin tends to recover. The 19%, considering the lines that are being removed, would have been 26.6%. It's no consolation because the executed is what matters, but it gives you a little bit of color what Multi would be in normal conditions. Finally, the fourth family we'll talk about, kids and sports. Very healthy gross margin. You see 37%. Very good products, very good margin. It improved the margin in the year. The share of this line was record from 10 to 18% of the total. So you see a company that overall is getting healthier. But that offender we talked about got worse in the quarter. We're recognizing a lot and putting a lot of things in our P&L. But the company is generating cash with a lot of good, healthy businesses. So that is one of the reasons that get me grounded, but looking forward shows me we're in a good path. And the fourth quarter was also good, maintaining margin here. We ran a simulation. If we removed some items from this portfolio, the margin would have been even better at 42%. Note that there's a lot of families. Toys are doing great, very recognized in the market space. Sports and leisure, we're clearing all the lines, so it's going to be removed. 80% of the sports and leisure line, bicycle accessories, locks, and helmets for bicycles. These are all offenders. They're all stuck, and we're selling, clearing them with minus 30, minus 40 of margin, but it's not as big in the total. But it will be cleared. Baby is great. Pet, we have a painful margin, but it will remain. We're going to improve here with the factory costs. Wellness is great. The gaming part, this gaming, it's not right here, is it? This gamer is for office and IT supplies? No, it shouldn't be here. It should be in accessories. So it's a typo. Gamer should not be here. Drones and cameras, excellent record sales with good margin. And electric mobility. Here we have electric bicycles going very badly. We're going to clear them and remove the line. Scooters and other light vehicles going well, and the electric motorcycles with excellent gross margins, but the production is still small. We're not diluting the factory costs properly. The target for this year is to more than double it, and that will dilute factory costs and deliver better margin. From this entire family, sports and leisure will be removed. Everything else is healthy except for electric bicycles that we're removing. Let's see how we're doing in time. Okay. So we look at the breakdown by segment, how we're talking about the quarter. Just putting it into perspective, overall minus nine. You see that mobile devices here at minus 118. We've already talked about this. And this is the share of each one of the segments. Recurring margin. If we had had a fourth quarter only with the lines that will remain, removing what's going to be discontinued, we would, instead of minus nine, we would see a margin of 23. That would be a lot healthier. It's not what we want. We want to get to 30, but it would have been a lot better. So here is a big summary. ERP month by month is getting less bad. I would say that now things are running reasonably well. Now it's more a matter of capturing opportunities and automating other than blocked processes. So we don't have an ERP, a serious structural ERP problem. We still have remainders, but we're recovering market and so on, feeling the willingness of customers, but it takes time. We lost space and we need to renegotiate and reclaim our space. Purchasing diligence a lot tighter. The inventory volumes are lower. Inventory reductions, logistic optimizations that we talked about. We reduce a lot of the DC park that reduces costs, renegotiating freight, highway delivery, and so on. Portfolio rationalization, removing a lot of lines. I showed you some that were discontinued, and you can see our DTC going better, and the net cash part. And now, most importantly, for 2024, what is the agenda? March 1st, we have our new commercial policy. So as with all changes in the beginning, there's a lot of doubts and customer testing the policy. Okay, so this year I won't buy, especially small customers. Our commercial policy basically considers to take all of our products, bringing them to a slightly higher market price to gain a little bit in pricing, nothing major because Multi is an entry-level brand. So if you take an air fryer of 250 BRLs, maybe it could be 369. So we'll gain 19 reais. That's a lot of cash. So 369, calculating the margin by client, how much I have to deliver to each client for them to do that purchasing price. That's the agenda. So the big clients continue to buy at a bigger discount. Smaller clients will pay a little bit more. And sellers for marketplaces that in the previous policy were based on volume. If you buy a lot, you get a discount. Now it's by executed margin. So sellers need to pay a little bit more for them to execute the price and not burn prices. The expected effect of this policy, I can't tell you if it's good or not. We need to wait 2 or 3 months to see. But initially, there's a depression in sales, especially for smaller customers. That's what we see in March. Big clients continue to buy, and the idea is the market will normalize. As the market inventory starts to go down, they will replenish their inventories at the new price already. So that would be the agenda. And what we're seeking is profitability. If we do this policy well, it's 2% of bottom line that this policy can bring us. It's a truckload of cash. That's very important. We have to renew the inventory, good, beautiful, cheap, remove low margin products, new partnerships being negotiated, such as Hisense, there's new things coming on. Increasing the scope of government sales that I talked about, selling more products and getting into bidding processes of things that weren't as obvious before. There's baby products, healthcare, mobility. There's a lot of great things here. Logistics savings, we'll capture them in 24. Remember that in March, we exited the last warehouse that had a 1 million per month cost. So we'll be realizing 12 million per year plus the freight for that partnership that I mentioned with Gradus for cost and processes consulting. And then finally, I'll skip what I talked about during the presentation, but PCs and tablets. We renewed all products. There's no old line products anymore. Everything was renewed. Tablets that was 2 with 32 memory, we expanded for better screen with 464 and lower cost. So the squeezed gross margin is now a healthy gross margin. And we turned profits in tablets for more than 15 years or 13 years, actually. The fact that we had a choke up in 23 doesn't mean that we're going to kill the line. I believe it's a line where we have a high share, good demand. The tablets for kids as well as a universe. PCs is the same. Telephony, we're ending the multi-line and the Nokia line, clearing them, studying new partnerships that may happen, but with a new model. A model with a lot less commercial risk, so we don't have the risk of what happened in the past. Networks, a lot of investors had a pushback here, but we have the consolidation, the market saturated, but there's a technology upgrade for whatever line. And we see a lot of demand for replacing routers, and that could drive good growth this year. Insecurity, we'll stop manufacturing of the products. We removed more than half a portfolio. It's going to be a basic line. We're only going to have the good, affordable, beautiful camera line. I believe that margins will resume next quarter. The network, I'll show you the network gross margin before and in the first quarter of how it's evolving. Peripherals, as I said, PC accessories, the gaming renewal because the gaming line was obsolete. Screens, we have the Hisense partnership. Basically, we already produce multi screens that are doing well. We produce Toshiba screens, and now we're going to have exclusive production of the Hisense brand, second largest brand in the world, very well known around the world, and it's going to come to Brazil with a very good portfolio. So gaining scale, and we have 50% of the Manaus production capacity, and we'll really want to grow in screens. In audio, we renew the Pulse part with Wesley Safadão, that's the brand ambassador, and home appliances reducing manufacturing costs. Drones and cameras, we're doing well and getting record numbers every month in sales. Sports and leisure discontinuing lines, wellness for gyms, it's the best gross margin for the company, more than 50% at this time. Very interesting for us. Electric mobility, we're launching a consortium for Watt electric motorcycles. The idea is to increase production in Manaus, which will dilute fixed costs, improving the margin and the bottom line for mobility. And baby, we also have a very strong influencer, VTube is her name, doing an internet campaign. So these are the reasons here on the letter. I gave you 10 reasons and I summarized it a little bit more on the call. So although it was a disappointing quarter, you look at the results and I'm not happy with the bottom line results as well, but I'm happy with the cash position, and I believe the expectation of normalization has very believable sound basis. With that said, let's move to the questions. So I'm going to read here in order. If you have questions, I'll ask you to send them in writing. If you want to ask them in live, you can write it down and I'll call you. We have from André from UBS. First question, looking at the company's current revenue and the discontinued lines, which line should get the revenue to maintain current levels? So we're projecting a flatter revenue level for this year. I would not expect major leaps in revenue. But basically, what's growing is screens, the Hisense line, that's an aggregated revenue that will add to ours in terms of revenue. Drones also growing this year. We also have a number of families that are growing little by little compared to last year, such as retail tablets that tend to grow this year a little bit. We also have speakers with growth targets, home appliances as well. So everybody is contributing and adding a little bit so that we don't lose revenue. Our search this year is to not have a drop in revenue. ISP, as I said, basically 100 million of additional revenue that we have to work for and seek. So, what are the biggest ones that should grow to offset the removal of smartphones, sports, electric bicycles, and so on? What are the options you're looking at for 2024 in relation to the cash generated in 2023? Okay, André, the agenda now is to have multi on the blue. Until we start delivering net profit bottom line, this cash is a safety cushion for the company. So at this time, our agenda is to seek the blue. Once we can say, oh, now we have EBITDA, net income, we want to be very cash efficient, and we will study the share buyback and distribution of dividends because we have an accounting loss now, so we can pay out exempt payments. We can even have the IOE, there's a We can also have distribution with the reserves that we have. He reminded me, we have accumulated profit, we have the reserved cash. So if we wanted to distribute this, we would have to offer or pay tax. But since we have an accumulated loss, we can offset it. So we can take money from the subvention reserves, offset the tax with the losses, and distribute and make the payout exempt of tax. So there's margin, there's room to maneuver. But let's go back to that result. You're going to say, is it going to come on the first quarter? No, unfortunately, it will not. I don't expect anything as bad as you saw in the past, but it's no. So continuing, we will have cash generation, okay? I already told you, we are with a small cash generation in the first quarter again. You're going to look and say, oh, it's still turning a loss, but we're still getting cash. It could be worse. Larissa wants to ask a question on the microphone. Is that it, Larissa? You can go ahead, Larissa. Hi, Ali. How are you? Good morning. On the release, you talked a little bit about this new round of efficiency gains and the Grados Consulting you hired. Where do you see these opportunities in the company? And also about government orders, what would be the timeline if you can give us a little bit of a color on the resumption of those orders for government? So, where do we still have cash on the table? Considerable cash, major accounts, freight overall, optimizing freight and shipment, cargo. We have a software that will be implemented now to go live in May. That's for optimization and routing of freight. Unfortunately, today, if you send me an order from Paraíba to a certain customer, 3, 4 days go by and you send another order, I will have to ship twice to Paraíba. We don't have the intelligence to combine orders and send one truck. That's vanilla, everybody does it, but it's not state of the art. And we're going to implement a routing software that we've already hired and is being implemented. And what it does is combining all of the cargoes for one specific region to close a truck. And then we send a truck to Paraíba to deliver for 3 or 4 clients. And there's a lot of cash on the table there because we're talking about freight that could cost 7-8% of the invoice. If it goes from 7 to 8 to 4%, you made 4% of bottom line. That's one point. Other logistics optimizations that are important. IT is always high force to review customers' costs. It's an area that always had cost inflation as well. So freights and inbound logistics, industrial costs, how are we tapping into the best synergy? Loss management as well, inventory breaks and loss of components. Money on S&OP that are not captured. Expenses with travels, for example, tighter policies. It seems that it's little by little, but it's a lot of money, you know, that travel, you know, that advance. Planning in advance is fundamental for you to save. And here we spend about 200,000 in travels per month, 200,000 reais per month, more. More than 200,000. Do you know, guys? 300 to 400,000, I apologize. So total travel expenses. There's a lot of departments, but commercial trips, we have a technical service, for example, trips. So if we can plan in advance for the purchase, the travel expense goes down greatly. I was quoting from São Paulo to Brasília the other day, and this very fresh. If I buy a flight for today, it's 1,400 reais. If I buy for next week, it's 800. If I buy for 2 weeks from now, it's 400. If I buy for a month from now, it's 200. I'm not kidding. From 1,400, it drops to 200 reais. And a flight ticket to Brasília. So all of these policies, little by little, we can add a lot. But there's a lot of accounts there that we're going to look at. marketing expenses, marketplace expenses, and commissions. It's millions. From Marcelo Bandeira, what's the range of fit that is ideal for the size of the company, net revenue, for historical levels of profitability, about cash, if there's how it's going to be used? We already addressed that. Does it make sense to pay off debt? Advance paying off debt in advance would have a cost. There would be a penalty to pay it off ahead of time. So our agenda is to carry them and pay them off when they're due and their maturity date. The level of expense that we're projecting for 24, we were there at 3.7% of G&A. If we bring it down 15% with revenue improving, it goes to 3% of G&A and it becomes very efficient. I don't know a lot of companies in this area who have a G&A lower than 3%. Multi got to the top at 2.5% of G&A. It seems to be okay. This size for this level of expense and bringing it down a little bit more is fine. Our agenda has to go beyond expenses, but the most important is gross margin. That's our pain point. If we get back to 30% gross margin with this level of expense, we're fine. From Sami Miranda, considering the company's current performance in the smartphone market, it's the discontinuation of the smartphone offer. Yes, and me, we're selling out the entire inventory, clearing it, and we'll leave this business. In the format of us operating retail and importing, manufacturing, selling, we will be out this format of smartphone sales. From Marcelo, what's the first quarter looking like? First quarter for government, very weak. Retail meeting targets, even though the targets are low, okay, we reviewed the targets, very grounded. So in managerial terms, retail is meeting target and gross margin recovered, going back well to healthier levels. So we will not post a destroyed gross margin at the end of the quarter as what we saw in the fourth quarter. You will see a strong recovery of gross margins, and it's great. But then you will see bad results, but not as catastrophic. And you say, oh, not nice. You'll see a small cash generation. Okay, that's good. And revenue that is still not strong. New commercial policy we already talked about. We've implemented in March 1st. So I believe for the next call, I'll be able to tell you it's excellent. We're recovering gross margin, or it was bad. People are not buying. But I will bring the information to you. What's the strategy for 24, 25 to mobile? Should you maintain? No. We're looking at other partnership formats that are possible with other brands that do not follow that model, that does not have that model of multi taking all commercial risk. There's no scenario where we would maintain mobile in that model. From Matheus Resch from Attica. So today, would you say that in-house inventory is 100% healthy? The inventory in home and in transit. Yes, I would say it's 100% healthy. I don't think there's much more we can remove from inventory. What consolidated gross margin do you estimate for the in-house inventory? The smartphones that will be still delivered that are left should come at zero gross margin. It's not turning a loss, but anything you put at the base with a 0% margin will reduce the total. I estimate that we should get to gross margins of 30, 32%. That would be healthy. That's the normal levels that Multi delivers. But we're not at this level yet. It's a little below due to a few things that remained that will be sold at zero margin, that those write-offs we talked about. Matheus, we had that doubt. We could write off everything and put at zero cost, and anything you sell turns a profit. But that wouldn't be coherent for the coming year. So all of a sudden, smartphones are doing well. Anything at a cost of zero turns great, right? If you sell a cell phone for R$5, you have a margin. So we mark them for zero margin. How's the acceptance of the new commercial policy? Are you losing orders because of it? So far, not from large customers, medium customers, but small customers, yes. There's still a lot to adjust. I just came from a meeting with a manager that serves stationery companies, and they sell that to sell computer accessories there. The margin is fitting, but toys, the margins are wrong, and they can't work with it, for example. And it's an stationery company that or store that also sells toys. So we went to the toy policy to adjust it, and then it will go. But it's still too soon to say. Could you say how much of the inventory is still smartphones? 50 million reais at cost in the inventory of 1.5 billion, marked to sell at a margin of zero. At market prices that are very low prices. It doesn't exist in the market anymore. From Marcelo, throughout the year, does the company believe they'll be able to reduce the distribution expenses compared to net revenue? What's the level you want to achieve? Well, we're working for that. There's a lot of money there. The company's cargo profile has changed. So, a company that in the past sold essentially accessories and electronics, cell phones, tablets, and so on to retail, you have a product with high added value and low weight. So, the freight expense was very low. I remember that we got 2-3% of revenues in freight expenses. Now, I'm selling speakers and fans to the Northeast, TVs that come from Manaus to Rio Grande do Sul. So the profile changed a little bit, and there's still DTC that we're delivering via postal service. Our expense was as high as 8 to 10% of freight. A company that paid from 2 to 3 paid from 8 to 10. It's a huge difference. So there's room for a reduction, but we will never go back to 2 to 3 because of the profile of the type of cargo. There's still some inventory, 422 in mobile. Should we still expect this inventory to turn over with very low margins? That mobile is the whole, right, Eder? Government PCs, everything? Look, at this inventory, only just about 10% is for cell phones that will be sold at margin of zero. For the rest, I don't expect low margins. We have PCs going for government, they're coupled business that we wait for the orders, the things that we already won. Tablets are with a good margin. PCs for retail are also new lines, 2024 lines. Just doing a quick math, if the cell phone's 10% and it goes in at zero, it will offend the gross margin in about 10%. What you're going to see if we get a margin of 20, for example, on mobile, with the smartphone effect, it will drop to 18. So that's what should happen. It can only offend at most 10% of the margin because it represents 10% of inventory and it will have a margin of zero. From João here, we could talk a little bit about such a huge increase in possible losses for the year. And if you could talk about the Proinox process, why the value of the cars and the whole imported value and the due tax. I'll talk a little bit, but Eder can be more precise. The due tax is zero, okay? I'll have to take about 5 minutes. How long do we have? Oh, we have 5 minutes. Okay, Houston, we have a problem. But I don't want to evade any of the questions. So Multi is a company based in Minas Gerais who manufactures, imports, and sells. For some time, we were imported through Santa Catarina, transferring to Multi and distributing. Santa Catarina has a final decision that products that are imported through Santa Catarina sells to Multi It doesn't pay IPI tax because it's paid in the entry point and multi-distributes. So why there's no tax due? Because there's no IPI. There's no tax to be collected. So when inspection went to look at this operation, they didn't apply an overdue tax fine because it's zero tax. That's the reason. So that's the biggest cause. As everything in Brazil, they have a lot of opinions, and I believe it's a very remote, very absurd possibility of those things that only happen in Brazil. Inspection descharacterized that operation, even though the Federal Revenue shows that there's no loss for the public vaults, no tax due, but we'll understand that the sale from Proinox to Multilaser at the time. How would you say it, Eder? They call it a fraudulent interposition. What they say is you imported by Proinox to hide Multi. You didn't want Multi to appear, but Proinox is a subsidiary that's 100% Multis. It makes no sense. So the tax service said you imported from Proinox and transferred to Multi to hide Multi. How much did the government law lose in terms of tax? Zero. They say that themselves because there's no due tax. So how was I hiding Multi if Multi owns Proinox? And they say, oh, I don't care. So we have that liability there. It's Brazil. We're defending the cause, but we're confident, but we don't have the results of this legal proceeding yet. That's the whole subject. You can contact us if you want more details. Leonardo from Southside. If we can talk about new partnerships mentioned in the release, what partnerships we're seeking. Unfortunately, I cannot comment this now. I have to be vague, but very soon, willingly, in a few weeks, I should bring you something new. Matheus Resch again. Sales for small retailers were weaker in the fourth quarter before the change in commercial policy. What's the explanation for that? That's a good question, Matheus. I have to look into it. I don't want to guess why specifically for small retail and not overall retail. Overall retail, people are cautious with not a lot of money to buy. So I'll have to get back to you about this, okay? From small retail. André from Supra, can Multi compete with Foxconn in mobile? As a manufacturer for the third, we could. Multi could potentially manufacture mobile since we have one of the largest parks in Brazil for machines and with expertise, tax structure that's optimized, with experience, engineering teams. We could eventually compete with Foxconn and we could add more value than Foxconn. We could also run the logistics operation. So we could take a brand and manufacture and distribute in Brazil to consumers as long as we don't have the commercial risk. That's the big fear. I can bring whatever product they want, I can sell at whatever price they want with a fixed fee. It's not going to be a huge project, but at least a huge profit, but it wouldn't turn a loss. We could potentially do that. Marcelo here, distribution, is the line going to drop at the end or no? Now. I'm sorry, it wasn't. The order here is for savings. We don't want to spend with translation. I believe that the pulverized distribution associated to the large amount of products is a competitive edge for Multi and physical retail, but consumption has migrated to e-commerce. When we think exclusively of online sales, does Multi believe there's a competitive edge? I believe so. The evidence of that, our DTC is at record levels in terms of share. Is it 10.8% or something like that? The total for the company. So we're growing retail on DTC. We have a competitive edge. We have an excellent team. We're plugged to the main important marketplace. We have a full, we have deliveries with the labels from our partners. We have a automated distribution center for that. We have fast delivery, post sales. We have a WhatsApp team that contacts consumers, answers. We have a structure that few industries in Brazil have to serve this DTC. So that's one of the reasons to be optimistic. Can you give us, Hugo, can you give us a scenario of the contingencies that are not provisioned in the balance sheet? Did they increase, present an increase last year? This is, we could, but it's okay, Hugo, just quickly, more than half of this increase, we correct contingencies by the Selic rate in the same positions on the balance sheet. So Selic rate started at 13 something. So there's more than 200 millions of simply corrections. And then we have here from Rafael. Alexandre's microphone is off. Can you hear me now? Rafael from Artica. Can you talk about how you made the decisions of which families are maintained and which ones are discontinued? What's the structure of the team connected to each family? Okay, so each family has a head. It's usually a product director that can have one or two families. This person below them has analysts and product managers, marketing analysts, engineering analysts, and trade marketing. So everything that is related to commercial, to sales, is responds to that head. Some areas also have a sales department. For example, wellness for gyms. This business unit has the commercial department responding to it. Or if it's electronic retail, there's no commercial department. It's a generic area, for example, speakers, computers, and so on. And the decision basically is how believable it is for the future that this family is going to turn a memory. For better or worse, we could be wrong, but we always manage it based on gross margin return on investment. For each family, price minus cost, marketing expenses, financial costs of inventory of sales. It's a managerial EVA of the business because Multi is one single legal entity. We don't have separate accounting or P&L for example, miles only. But I have the GM ROI. If the GM ROI is bad, it's negative, but it doesn't mean we're going to discontinue. So how credible it is that smartphones have a horrible margin, mouse and gaming, the margin's horrible, but gaming mouse, we have a credible recovery plan and we'll believe that the family will improve. For smartphones, we do not see. I mean, we're competing with giants with 100 times more R&D than we do with a better stamina, so it's not worth competing. It's a high niche product. It's too small, or we are in channels where we're not strong. Those points are also considered. So there's a number of reasons. Smartphones is because our competitive advantages are not sufficient to compete with multinational companies. For home appliances, for example, and sports that we left, and automotive that we discontinued, it's because it's informal competition. A lot of importers who do not pay taxes. There's no perspective and not a believable GM ROI. For electric bicycles, also, logistics are more complicated for deliveries and so on. So each one has its reasons. Oh, someone asked if we're going to do an offer of shares. Investors often ask, saying, "Oh, we're worried that you're going to sell shares." Until people started asking, we hadn't thought about it. But once it was brought up, we went to look at how it works. But we don't have an appetite for that. It's not in our scenario to sell shares. It's just rumors. Any other questions, everyone? Great. So thank you again very much for being present during our call. We hope that we can bring you better results in the coming quarters.